Good evening. It's been a good week, hasn't it? This is a highlight for me. This is a special church. It always has been. I'm convinced it will continue to go that way. We met with a session before the church service, and a number of questions were addressed to us. My wife said I was kind of wordy. Well, I found that if you take a question and you're really wordy at it, that means they can't ask you a lot of other questions. That wasn't the reason. I'm just wordy by nature, I guess. But the comforting thing for me to come to Westerville Baptist or Bible Church, excuse me. Okay, how long is this church support? It's not including today. is that I can come here without the slightest fear that your position has changed. That's a comfort. Churches are changing all over the world. Things that we used to hold near and dear, or they used to hold near and dear, are no longer held near and dear. They will emphasize minor things and let the major things just go aside. Those are no longer important. And I just appreciate this church that it's not that way. Things that were important almost 40 years ago are still important. Amen. Let me dig myself out of my hole. Westerville Baptist Church is not. It's a Bible church. People ask me about that. I believe a church that's truly a Bible church will be Baptistic. I believe a Baptist church that is truly a Baptist church will be Biblicist. I'm not stuck on names. So I hope you're not either. But we'll move on from there, okay? Did I dig myself out of the hole? Did I get out? No? Oh, well, we'll just have to see. I have a certain quirk. I have a lot of quirks, actually. You'll see I'm kind of a quirky person. I have a lot of quirks. But one that really bothers me is when I ask somebody, did you finish that project? It's almost done. If it's almost done, then it is not done. It's almost perfect. If it's almost perfect, then it is imperfect. It's almost clean, then it is dirty. I mean, almost is one of those words that I realize that, well, we've almost raised enough support. It means we haven't, but we're getting close. I realize it's a relative term. But I think as the scripture was read tonight, that phrase from King Agrippa saying, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, we don't really know what he was saying exactly. We can't hear the tone of his voice. He may have been saying from the standpoint, really, Paul, are you trying? Do you really think that in this short a period of time you're going to convince me to be a Christian? Or he may have been saying, Paul, I'm almost there. There are just some questions I have. Or he may have been saying, you can't be serious. If I were to follow this itinerant preacher, I would no longer be king. I'd lose all my riches. I'd lose all my fame. You can't be serious, Paul. But no matter what the tonality of his voice was, he said no to God. We're encountering this same problem today. People saying no to God. Tonight, I'd like to challenge you to say yes to God. And I would just say, as by way of command, that you must say yes to God. And there are three areas I'd like to touch tonight, areas in which you must say yes to God. The first area is you must say yes to God concerning your personal salvation. That was really the basic challenge that Paul gave Agrippa. And I like this story. I really do. How many of you played football? Okay, do you remember what that basic premise is? I played guard and tackle. I'm just kind of that type of guy. I like to bust faces. I train karate, too. I got my black belt in karate. It kind of goes along the same line. But when we were training for football on the line, we learned something. Where the head goes, the body's going to follow. So, you know, you got this big guy up in front of you. And back in those days, I was not very heavy. I was 172 pounds soaking wet. But I was on the line. And you got this guy that's over 200 pounds right in front of you. How are you going to move him? If you go into the trunk of his body and try to move him, you're not going to move him. But if you just have that simple little move without grabbing on the face mask on his head and start that head moving away, he'll go where his head goes. That's what Paul did to Festus. Festus said, Paul, you're outside of your mind. Much learning has made you mad. And Paul just says, put Festus aside and said, King Agrippa, I know that you believe the prophets. And he was married to a Jewess. So he was familiar with all the things that had to do with a Jewish faith. And then Agrippa says, are you really serious? Are you really trying to convince me to be a Christian? You must say yes to God. I'd like us to look at three situations. The first, you must say yes to God concerning your personal salvation. Acts was already read, chapter 26. Let's just key on chapters 27 to 28. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Think about it. King Agrippa knew all the facts. None of these things were strange to him. He was on top of the issues. He knew the point of Paul's message. That's what he's saying. Are you really serious? You're going to try to convince me to become a Christian? And Agrippa may have even felt that it was the right thing to do. But he remained almost persuaded. He remained lost. There may be someone here tonight that you say, well, you know, I'm familiar with all these things and I'm almost there. If you're almost there, you're still lost. You're still undone. You're still without Christ in your life. And don't take offense at this, but you're still on your way to hell. You must say yes to God concerning your personal salvation. Okay, but you need to say yes to God in two other areas. The second area, you must say yes to God concerning your personal growth, your personal discipleship. We have a problem today, and I read this on the internet, and of course you know everything on the internet is the gospel truth. Okay, we can trust everything that's written on the internet. But this particular person, he was concerned about the idea of receiving Christ as your personal Savior. For years, since I got saved, we've also always said, accept Christ as your Savior. Receive Him into your heart. Let Him have control of your life. He said, we got a problem. We present Christ in that way, and we don't even touch the idea that you're to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a person says, okay, I'll go that way. I'll accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then we go back to them and we say, now you need to take that second step. You need to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say, wait a minute. I'm glad to have my fire insurance policy. That's great. I'm not going to have to go to hell. But this business of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, that's kind of serious. I don't know if I can go that way. And those are the people that will make a decision for Christ and then just kind of fall away. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, today or tonight in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. we could read verses 11 to 18. Well, it's only 2:30 in the afternoon, so I guess we could do that. Chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. Let's go ahead and do that. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye should be in all holy conversation, godliness, manner of life, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Just pausing there. A few, I don't know if it was a year or two ago, we were having a retreat on Hope Ranch. And we started, the men gathered together, and we were talking about heaven. You know, tears came to my eyes. What do you look forward to seeing in heaven? What is attractive to you personally about heaven? I asked the men that, and some of them said, well, we'll be able to see the Lord. Well, that's good. Well, you know, we'll be out of this world. And I said, that's fine. And I said, you know what really excites me about going to heaven? And they said, what's that? I'll no longer have to fight against sin. Can you imagine that? If you're not fighting against sin, it probably means that you kind of submitted yourself to it sometimes. But it just excited me. Anyway, I'll not charge you for that. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot and blameless, and according that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall away or fall from your own steadfastness. Now the verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. The second thing that we need to be concerned about, we must say yes to God, is our personal discipleship. You need to be growing. I need to be growing. I need to be in the Word. I need to seek out people that are mature in the Word that can teach me so that I may teach others also. It's our responsibility. If you haven't grown during the last year, then you've gone backwards. We need to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm concerned today. So many people that say they have Jesus Christ their Savior, they have no hunger for the Word of God. They have no desire for the things of God. They are just happy to have their fire insurance policy paid in full, but no production. You might call our Christian faith today in many corners of the world a socialistic Christian faith. You know what socialism is? You're provided for from birth to the grave, but you don't have to produce anything. And our Christianity has become that. We need to learn that we're to produce. So there are two things so far. Three situations which you need to say yes to God. The first is your own personal salvation. Are you sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have repented of your sin, that you have put all your confidence in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, his being God and the only Savior of the world? Yes? I hope so. And if that's the case, then the second part. Are you growing? Are you really looking into God's Word and letting God's Word change your life? I'm currently in the book of Deuteronomy. This time, I chose to read my Bible, starting in Genesis, and read straight through. Leviticus is not one of the easiest books to get through, because a lot of it, I get principles out of it, but you kind of want to get through it. Deuteronomy, much of it's a history about how God had led the people from point A to point B and on along. But it's a discipline in that I'm looking for things that will pertain to my life that will help me be more like Christ. Let's read. I read my Bible. We have got to learn to become disciples and grow in the Lord. People must understand that becoming a Christian is becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a process of becoming like the Master. So you must say yes to God concerning your personal salvation. You must say yes to God concerning your personal growth. And then the third thing, you must say yes to God concerning your personal ministry. Everybody here, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're to be performing your personal ministry. You see, where does the Bible say that? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath, what? Pleased him. God set Susan and Bill Kiefer in Brazil. He set us there. Are we ministering here? Sure, we're part of the universal body of Jesus Christ. But our ministry is in Brazil. Think about the body. When my heart stopped functioning correctly, for about, 18 years? A heart specialist were saying, one of these days you're going to have that heart operated on, and you're going to have the valve changed. Came just 5 years ago, as a matter of fact, November to be 5 years ago, I could no longer breathe. I was on oxygen, and my heart doctor said, well, it's because you have the beginning stages of emphysema. And he sent me to a lung specialist. The lung specialist said, yes, you have emphysema and pneumonia, and it's going to be a terrible, painful death. It's just going to be, and just really painted that picture and all. Put me in the hospital for pneumonia. I was in for a week. Then they discharged me, and I still couldn't breathe. It got so bad, I could not even hold my head up. I was so weak. And we went back to the doctor, and they said, well, it must be something psychological. And Susan said, well, don't you have one of those things you put on the end of the finger that tests the blood level? Oh, yeah, we got one of those. So they took, it seemed like an eternity, but they finally found it. It was in a hospital in our town, and they put that thing on me, and I believe that it was, 69%? I talked to a therapist in, where was that? Down near Francisco, Indiana, and they said, you know, that blood level was like dead. That was a percentage. I realize there's a variation, but I was dead meat. And they were saying, oh, yeah. Though they interned me, put me in the hospital again. And I was there a week, and the lung specialist came in. She said, well, we've taken care of your pneumonia. I said, but I can't breathe. And he said, well, you need to look for a psychiatrist. It's a psychological problem. Well, we started looking for another lung specialist. We thought it was a problem with the lungs. We went to a town, it's Uberlândia, and it's about, 2 hours from where we live. And we went to a lung specialist. And the lung specialist said, my friend, if your lungs weren't so strong, you'd be dead meat right now. Your problem's not your lungs, it's your heart. And I kind of got a little bit upset about all that. And I asked him, I said, well, how can a person make such a bad mistake? And he told me this. Your lungs and your heart are brothers. What affects one affects the other. Like, you've heard of congestive heart failure? What is that? It's the organs of your body are putting so much pressure on your heart can't stand it, and it can be fatal. Congestive heart failure. Well, what happened? Just to complete the story, and we'll get back to the message. What happened? They sent me to do a echo sonogram of my heart, and they said that, yes, your valve needs to be changed. And they said you need to do a catheterization and make sure all your vessels are open and all. And I said, well, I can't do that this week. And they said, why not? I said, I got camp this weekend. And we had the youth camp that weekend. I didn't realize how serious this thing was. I had the camp that weekend, and then the next weekend we went and had the catheterization. The heart, or the man that did the catheterization said, you know, you're really in great shape. You only got one problem. I said, what's that? He said, your heart's not any good. Well, that's kind of complicated. And anyway, they wouldn't even let me out of the hospital. I had to wait 4 more days to get the valve changed, have a valve job, you might say. And the end of the third day, Susan had to go out and take care of insurance. I was in my hospital room by myself. And all of a sudden, it really got serious. I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for air. I couldn't even find the thing to call the nurse. All of a sudden, the nurse comes in and says, did you call me? And I said, no, I didn't call you, but I know who did. God did, and they brought oxygen. And I, to this day, I don't know why we weren't already on oxygen, but we weren't. What's the whole point? The body has to work together. In the local church, we got to work together. It's just not Bill and Susan Kiefer down in Brazil being missionaries and working for the Lord. It's not Mark and Paula Batory in Greenville throughout the whole world just doing the job that they've been called to do. It's not just you working here in Westerville or in the regions around Ohio. It's not individual groups doing their job. It's we got to work together as a body to reach the people around us for the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to do that, you need to say yes to God. We need tonight people to say yes to God. Down in Brazil, we need help. I need a couple that could come down and help us plant another church and also help us run the camp. You'll say, well, Brother Bill, I'm not a program man. Well, then do something else. That's not a problem. I need financial people. My financial capabilities is we got the money, we'll spend it. If we can find a way to borrow it, we'll borrow it. We don't do that anymore, by the way. We just, if we have it, we spend it. And we have goals. We have things we want to do. I need someone that I can have that would help us plant churches and be the financial wizard. That instead of my being concerned about making the budget and keeping track of receipts and everything, I could turn that over to somebody. They could do it. And you say, well, Brother Bill, you just need a person to help you plant church and be financed. That's one area, but it doesn't stop there. You would be in charge of doing that, but also train a Brazilian to do the same thing. We got to reproduce ourselves. We need people that could be church planning and help in maintenance and programs and things of that nature. We need people that will help us develop the program in such a way that they'll know where they are, they'll know how to do it, and they'll be able to train others to do the same thing. We need people. Do we need money? Sure. We need people. We need the body to be working together. Now let's bring it home right here, and with this I'm just going to close. We need to do that in the local church situation. I've heard it said that 5% what does it say, 5% of the people do 95% of the work in the local church. We need to work together in reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ and helping Westerville Bible Church reach out in the community and build, be used in God's hand to build Christ's church. That's what we need. Tonight I would ask you, are you almost persuaded? Or are you like Paul? He was fully persuaded. We need to be fully persuaded in our minds that we can do, should do, and will do what God has for us. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, Agrippa said. There are a lot of people saying, almost thou convincest me to serve God. I would ask you to be completely convinced in your own mind and do what you can do. I admire people like Mark Perry that can get up there and play that piano like that. He can preach. He can do so many things. I admire people like Dan Corey that, man, I just enjoy talking to him about different ways, different projects can be done. I would like to be like that, but I'm not. I admire people that just say, well, you know, I'm not real talented that way either, but, you know, I can sweep a floor, or I can pass out some tracts, or I can do something in the local church to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I would challenge you tonight. Don't almost be persuaded. Be fully persuaded in your own mind so that you might be used of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to build his church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for your word. This has been a fantastic missions conference. I pray, Lord, that as we look towards the future, that men and women would be called from this church to go out and be used of thee on the mission field, be it Brazil, be it Papua New Guinea or Vietnam or Cambodia or Africa. It doesn't really matter. But they would be sent out from this local church to be used of thee in the harvest field, the foreign harvest field. But Lord, my major concern tonight is not the foreign harvest field. My concern is that we, as Americans, people that speak English, people that live right here in this area, would be used in your hand to serve you. Lord, I just pray tonight that people be willing to say yes to thee. Those that are not saved, that they would say yes to come to know thee as personal Savior. Those that are saved would say, yes, I'm going to spend that time so that I might grow and the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that all of us would say yes to thee, saying, I will serve thee in the position where you place me or have placed me in the body of Christ, so that the body might function correctly and be used in thine hand to reach souls for Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in his name, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.